Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Well, here we are again. It's Mick Dagger.
And the General.
And thanks for hopping on board Beer Army Engaged. I'll tell you, it's been a very festive season, hasn't it, Dustin?
Hubba, hubba, hubba.
What?
No, it has, man. I feel like I've been going on like a million miles. I feel like I've been going a million miles an hour, and my hair's on fire. And
that's the holidays for you, man.
And the crazy thing is, I don't know about your Christmas, but I know you don't have any ankle biters running around. And we made a rule in my household that so Santa doesn't have to stay up late putting together shit, you know. Assembly required, we stay away from gifts that say assembly required. So.
All right, then.
But I still was up to about 1 o'clock wrapping stuff and all that. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. That's the nature of the beast, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Man, well, I'll tell you, there's with the holidays having passed, at least Christmas, we have New Year's coming up.
I know.
It's just a crazy time of year. But I'll tell you, what's even crazier is when we get in here every week.
Yeah.
And we do these episodes and we come across this the great things like Heroes Never Die, which we have an awesome segment coming up later in the program today. An awesome one about a convenience store standoff and just the fortitude of a business owner.
Yes, not on my watch.
yeah, exactly. Not only that, but with the Yikum to Sue, there's a lot coming on the program. So stick around for this coming up. We'll look at a weird, insane reason a principal lost their job.
Yeah.
How you know you're an alpha male. And a whole lot more. So stick around for that. And I'll tell you, there's a lot with Beer Army that has just happened. Last week, we talked so much about the levels and what you can get as a super soldier by contributing on Patreon. But there's even more to it that has happened in the past week since then.
Yeah, well, we added all the new levels
to
include even for if you want a business or corporate sponsorship. So we have enlisted ranks all the way up to Master Sergeant. Then we have a couple of officer ranks. And those officer ranks are more targeted. For you know corporate type sponsorship. However, individuals could do it too, and we're giving lots of you know not just swag but sexy incentives, and it's like being a supporter, a pledger, a sponsor, but it's really being part of the fabric that is Beer Army, whether you do a $1 pledge or whether you do a $500 pledge. And we really think that some of the stuff that we're giving or everything we're giving is very cost effective, especially if you're looking at it from that corporate sponsor type level. And the thing is, we're spreading it out over 12 months, so to speak, too, you know, but
there's a lot of incentive. There's a lot of stuff. I was looking at this. We sat down last night. We looked over all of it and it's just awesome.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. And if you follow me or follow the Beer Army General profile on Facebook, I'll definitely be reaching out to you because I plan on getting old school, you know, kissing babies, knocking doors and saying, hey, we want you, instead of I want your vote, we want you to pledge your support.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So you'll definitely get a note out from me if you don't like it, just delete it or whatever. But we really are going to be ramping up and, you know, because Mick, because we want to put some clothes on Mick's back, you know.
Wow.
Hey, you know,
and, I'll tell you, it is just an honor and a privilege to be associated with Beer Army and the foundation and in doing this podcast. It's absolutely a joy.
Yeah.
It's a joy for me.
Oh, I love it.
But the thing is, it's being part of something bigger because there's so much that Beer Army does. Whether or not you know it, if you enjoy the podcast, I'd really encourage you to research. Look into Patreon, look at the things that Beer Army does, what the foundation's about, and you'll see the bigger picture. It is a community, and it is a community of support and inspiration, actually.
Well, I just love what we're doing, what it's about, exactly. Everything that you just laid out, but when I get to come into the studio here and get to see some of your facial features when we do stuff, that's like a bonus, baby. I'll literally tell people about your little... Like, I know we're going to be doing the blooper reel and stuff like that, and I know we've talked about doing more of your songs and poems and some of the other stuff.
Yeah,
I tell people, people are like, really? I said, oh, man, he's freaking hilarious. Mick is hilarious. So hopefully we can start incorporating that as we go into the new year. For those who are already following us on Patreon, or if you haven't pledged your support but you're a regular listener of the show, you know that we have a member-only feed on Patreon. And I wanted to play this to you, especially since we ate at the Lawson's Landing with all the long Italian words. And, you know, I suck at names or whatever. So I came across this. It was published a couple of days ago. And it's basically about somebody who overpronounces foreign words, you know, when they're at restaurants or whatever. But
group has one.
It's a couple minutes. Exactly. Every group has one. It's a couple minutes. I'm only going to play like a 30-second snippet, but check this out.
Can cannot wait to try the food here. The reviews have been incredible.
Okay, what's good?
I've heard good things about the prosciutto, also the caprese, also the mozzarella sticks, and the bruschetta, and the garlic bread.
Do you mean bruschetta?
Yeah, bruschetta.
Why are you saying it that way?
That's how it's supposed to be pronounced. People like it when you embrace their culture. It's very respectful. Ooh, they have linguine!
Okay, talking to you is embarrassing, and I want to change the subject. Have you guys eaten in this neighborhood before?
Actually, right next door, there's this amazing Spanish restaurant. They do the best tapas and gazpacho.
You mean tapas and gazpacho?
Yeah, that's what I said. Tapas and gazpacho.
That is...
Every group has one, man.
Everyone, man.
I'm sorry, I have to say... I make fun of people that do that, but I more than likely have been that guy.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of that guy too. I don't know what it is. You know, like we did that story about, I said St. Lucci or whatever. And and then the guy's name's Salvatore. I don't know. All of a sudden I jumped the shark and got Italian. You know, it's like.
For me, I used to go to Mexico a lot. And so in speaking Spanish and everything else, every time a Spanish word would come up, I would go back into Spanish pronunciation.
Like you're half Spanish or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do enjoy burritos.
Burritos. Yeah,
tacos.
I love it. Nah, it's great, especially when we get somebody like, you know, the Beer Army girl, Maddie or whatever, and, you know, her being half Mexican or whatever. And
that's the thing that gets me. She's Mexican, but she cannot handle spicy food whatsoever.
Dude, I don't know. Well, like last night, we had all that great food that came on out, you know, and that was a really good time, too. We had
the ugly sweater
contest and all the food that was brought out. But, I like teasing her and... And there's some others like, well, Mouse with his cheese. Everything's got to have cheese in it. And, you know, we got into an argument about how you make a grilled cheese. And if you use anything besides Wonder Bread and cheese, you're freaking wrong, you know.
Oh, God.
Like they had a grilled cheese macaroni. He's like, you don't, you know. I don't know if you were there. We had this conversation. And, you know, I said, well, what about like a hot ham and cheese? What? No, you don't put ham in your grilled cheese. I'm like, dude, it tastes really good that way. You know? He's just
whoa,
like,
don't even bring putting tomato into a grilled cheese sandwich. He posted earlier today on Facebook how he's proud he eats like a 5-year-old. And he Instagrammed a photo of his meal, which was chicken nuggets, french fries, and applesauce.
Amazing. Amazing, dude. But speaking of eating and drinking, I tell you, this beer that we got today, I'm really, really excited about.
It's really, really good.
We had an interesting contest, or we didn't actually. It was Brewmasters up in, was it Wilson, I believe it is? Going towards Rocky Mount, it's a little little beer bar bottle shop. They do a really great job. Anyways, they had a contest kind of like March Madness with brackets, and they put breweries head-to-head with each other. And you basically had to go out to Facebook to your followers and get them to vote for you, and you got to move. Well, we made it to the championship game, and it was us and these guys, Green Man Brewery out of Asheville, North Carolina, and they beat us at the end. But it was a very festive spirit in doing so. And I know we were reaching out to everybody, and I could just imagine they were doing the same. But, so we have here with us, we have their Forester, which is their winter stout. And, again, this is Green Man Brewery out of Asheville, North Carolina. You can find them online at greenmanbrewery.com. And I really like this stout. And
it's good.
You know,
it sucks. It's a limited seasonal, so I have to wait another year.
Yeah, it's solid black, as you can see. It's got a nice tan head that it really has some stain power. I mean, we poured this a while ago, and I still got a little bit of rim around with the lace, you know, on the glass and everything. And the aroma is definitely roast and chocolate all throughout. The taste is the same with some nice bitterness balance from the hops and the roast. And the body, I really like the body. It's really full. The carbonation is kind of like medium. I like the mouth feels very kind of velvety. There we go.
Say
again.
With me,
thank
Dustin.
You. Velvety. Like mouthfeel. it does seem a little thin, but you know what? I'm going to go on a limb here and say it's not their beer.
It's not thin at all.
I think what it is we as beer drinkers, everybody's bombarding us with the next crazy ass thing. You know, I mean, pretty soon we're going to have beer with Band-Aids in it or something like that. And I think our palate, like Pavlov's dogs, you know, we get trained to expect crazy shit. And then when you get a normal straight-legged beer, no frills per se, that doesn't make it bad. What's nice about this, though, is that I could drink a six-pack of this, you know, but I could see some people... I mean, when I initially drank it, I was like, oh, it's kind of thin. But then as I drank it some more, I'm like, it's not really thin. This is really what a traditional stout should be like.
It's fulfilling. Yeah, it's not filling, it's fulfilling.
Yeah,
it is. It's one of those where sticking with tradition and doing it well. This is one thing I recommend. Before, if you get this beer, before you take that first drink, really smell it because it smells delicious, and take some time because it's just good.
It's an awesome beer, and you know, if the Green Man Brewery specializes, or they like to focus on English style ales, and a stout is an English style ale, and that's, you know, the thing that I really like about it. Again, is this is pretty straightforward. It might not have all the bells and whistles of all this craziness that you see around us, but I also want to recommend to everybody, if you get a chance, is try their ESB, ESB has got to be one of the best ESBs around.
It's an American take on that ESB, and it is by far, you're right, phenomenal.
I was gonna bring that beer in and feature that, but since this is kind of like a seasonal for them, I really like stouts, and it's wintertime, I felt like, well, I wanted to feature that. But to give you some background on, and another thing too, I want to throw out as I'm looking at the bottle right now. The born on date. It's not some crazy coded bullshit. Nope. It's a straight up date. You know, when the beer, and for a small microbrewery like that, you know, that's not, you don't see a lot of microbreweries doing that per se, but it's a straight up easy to read type date. But founder Joe Eckhart, he started Green Man as a brew pub in Asheville as Jack of the Wood in 1997. And then Green Man was the brewing arm of the pub. Then in 2004, the decision was made to break it off into a production package type brewery. And then in 2010, Green Man was purchased by Dennis Thies, who had a strong background in distribution. They were doing about 700 barrels that year. And in 2013, they stepped it up over 10 times. So, I mean, he's put into the stratosphere. And
that's some growth there.
I think there's some confusion between, because of the brew pub, because it sells their beer, Green Man, you know, even though it's not the same entity anymore. But they basically, they're two different entities, but they have two separate owners. So it's two different businesses. I think a lot of people think Jack of the Wood, which is the pub that it started off in, and then Green Man Brewery. I mean, they're both in Asheville, okay, but it's not the same one-all be-all anymore. So I think people need to understand it. I think there's a lot of confusion. And again, they're known for their English-style beers, but they have been branching out to barrel-aged and some sours as well, and I'm really interested in trying some of those. They have the old 10-barrel brew house that they use for their specialty seasonals and one-offs like this, and then they have a new 30-barrel brew house that they use for their core brands. And they've been quickly branching out, as in this past year alone, they started up distribution in South Carolina and Florida, in addition to being pretty much statewide here in North Carolina and Tennessee. So and then they just started last month. They're midway through their third expansion as they start on this 18,000 square foot packaging building. And they started off by doing the demolition because it's in downtown, you know, it's in Asheville. So they got to do some demo of the old buildings and stuff like that on Buxton Street. So. Recently, there's this website called coolmaterial.com, and they did a piece where they showcased one brewery and one beer to represent that state, you know? And to me, when you see websites do that, you're like, you're calling your shot, right? Like, out of all the freaking, you know, so for the state of North Carolina, it ended up being Green Man Brewery, but it was for their Schnozberry, which is this wild ale loaded with berries. And so now I want to make sure I go and try this freaking beer because I'm like, the schnozberries taste like schnozberries, you know? So,
well, it is a great beer. This is just, it's a limited release, but all their beers, their ESB is delicious. I want to try more of their beers because what they've put in front of me so far, or at least what I've had, is absolutely delicious and amazing. So check it out.
I do have a little 30-second outtake of their expansion, but I know we're pressed for time, but I'm going to make sure it's on the website. So, you know, check it out with Dennis Thies talking about their new expansion and getting ready to kick off. So make sure it's on there.
Well, and stick around because we have our awesome Heroes Never Die segment. It's the epitome and the heart and soul of Beer Army Engaged, and a crazy story of a convenience store owner who just wasn't going to back down, quite honestly.
Not backing down.
Wasn't going to take shit from the man. So stick around for that. Yikem to Sue later on. Some great stuff coming your way here on Beer Army Engaged.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to BEERARMY.org.
Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army engaged.
Hey, don't forget, there is some new merch up online on the online store at beerarmy.org. So definitely check it out. There's some great gear up there. There's some new beanies. There's new hats.
Yeah, those baseball hats have been flying off the shelves.
Yeah, I picked one up the other day.
Nice.
And don't forget as well, you can get your tickets for a Jolly Skull Beer Fest.
Yeah, I tell you, it's amazing how fast tickets are selling for that. I'm telling you right now, if you don't, especially if you're looking at VIP tickets, the designated driver tickets are going fast too. So get your tickets now. We have some of the homebrewers that have already started submitting their list. Oh my God, the guys, DEA guys, Down East Ailers, oh, they got Meads, they got High Gravity. I mean, just some of the off-the-wall type concoctions that they come up with, I'm very excited about.
I can't wait for that.
The guys, the Beer Alchemists of Coastal Carolina down in Jacksonville, they're coming up. They got like 12 on their list. And then, of course, our local homebrew club, the ATF, I haven't seen their beer list yet, but they're always good for at least 4 to 6 beers. But just between those three, there's like 40 beers right there alone, you know? So.
Well, those Beer Alchemists do a great job. They have some great beer.
Yeah, they do. And so does DEA. Yeah. Those guys are killing it. They're killing it.
Well, I'll tell you, that's it's in Greenville Convention Center.
Yep.
January 24th.
Yeah, it is it.
So get your tickets if you're in the area or if you have a reason or want a reason to come to North Carolina, to Greenville.
Yeah.
Definitely make that a point of attendance. That's all I can say there.
Yeah, we appreciate everybody's support coming out.
But right now, it is time to highlight the great deeds of an individual here in our society because you never know who's going to save the day, so to speak.
Yeah, not like, and we're not talking about in like a funny slapstick, you know.
Oh, no, not by any means.
Tongue in cheek. Like, no kidding, save the day and save somebody from getting killed.
Yeah. Well, imagine just on your way to work and all of a sudden you see something happen.
Yeah, like, what's that?
Are you going to go to work or are you going to stop and see if you can help? Well, right now we have a story that is really awesome because in this crazy world, when the crap hits the fan and somebody has to step up, we're going to find out right now who's going to fill the gap.
Victory! Talk about going to work. If you go online and check out the pictures and the video, we're going to play a little video snippet, but see the perpetrator's face after work. Somebody went to work, all right, but and rightfully so. So here, give a listen real quick, and you'll understand what I'm talking about.
New tonight at 5, surveillance video captures an all-out wrestling match outside a Northwest Dallas liquor store on Story Lane. A suspected armed robber getting more than what he bargained for when an off-duty officer shows up. News 8's Tanya Eiserer explains.
And that one is, I think, on God. You know, he put him on this moment.
Oscar Torres credits off-duty Dallas police officer Richard Stewart with putting his own life on the line to save he and another clerk's life from an armed robbery suspect as he tried to shoot them. Store surveillance video shows convicted felon Carlos Lemos picking up 2 liquor bottles and leaving without paying last night. Torres and another clerk run after him, wrestling him to the ground as they realize he's got a gun.
So, I first of all, I want to throw out a couple of things. I love how they sensationalize, you know, convicted felon. Okay, well, got it. He's obviously a bad dude. You know what I mean? But, and then the thing that I get a kick out is at the beginning saying, suspected armed robber. Okay, you got video of the asshole literally stealing shit and then he has a gun on him. I understand that you got to wait till you have your court date or whatever, but it's like suspected. Okay, so
it's crazy with what people will do. Just, I don't understand. Why is a guy going to fight or threaten to shoot somebody over 2 bottles of liquor?
Well, this is the thing that I thought. I had 2 trains of thought on this. One is the individuals that, In this case, it was Oscar Torres and another clerk. They don't name the other clerk. And then, of course, the perpetrator or the suspected armed robber.
Right, the convicted felon.
Yes, yes. Carlos Lemos, who's on a, his bail is set at $170,000 or whatever. And for those who are like, where the hell is this happening at or whatever, I apologize. It's Northwest Dallas. So, and this was a Channel 8 ABC affiliate, WFAA, that reported this. And this happened on the day before Christmas Eve or Christmas Eve Day, I guess you would, or Christmas Eve Day.
All right.
How many more E's do I need to throw in there? I don't know.
So it was Christmas Eve night.
Something like that.
Because you can't have a Christmas Eve Eve.
You can't have a Christmas Eve Eve?
Well, that would make it the day before Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So was it the day before Christmas Eve or was it Christmas Eve evening?
Well, they just said, man, didn't they?
You just confused me with it.
Stop jumping the shark. You were getting confused on the names earlier.
Let's get back to the story.
Okay, I'm sorry. We digress for a minute, folks.
The thing I find awesome is that these clerks weren't going to play victim.
Well, and that's where I have two trains of thought.
But then the officer, there's more to what the officer
Yeah, we're
going to
get that to a second. Some people could say, that's really stupid. You risk your lives for a couple bottles of liquor and this guy could have shot you. Okay, that's one train of thought. That's my, but here's my problem with that ideology. That's being a victim. Mm-hmm. That's being passive. I don't want to, you know, offend people who maybe are like that. I mean, I would straight up say that's just being a pussy. Not because it's macho, but it's about, I see something wrong and I'm just going to continue letting it happen. This guy, when you see the video, he knows shit, Mick. He just takes the liquor, right? He's not like trying to run out or whatever. He's like looking around. He takes the liquor. He walks right past the checkout counter like, boop, not boop. It wasn't until they start chasing him and he gets to his car, then he kind of like tries to run away. Like, hey, dumbass, what were you thinking? Like, because he was probably thinking nobody's going to stop him because he looks like a badass, right? And that's the reason why I tip my hat to, you know, Oscar Torres and the other clerk for not willing just to roll over. Now, the guy had a gun. Is it worth losing your life off? Definitely not. But when the guy tried to pull the gun, they didn't run. They fought back and they wrestled him to the ground. And then comes in the second part of this story, which is off-duty officer Richard Stewart, who is on his way to, you know, clock in and do his job as a police officer. And he sees like, oh, what the hell's going on over there? So he pulls up and they're like, he's got a gun. He's got it. So, you know, dude doesn't miss a beat. He jumps in there. Freaking guy sees it. He goes, I'm a cop. And so the clerk's like, oh, thank God. And then the perp here, freaking Carlos Lemos, is like, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to shoot you in the face. He's trying to point the gun at the officer's face. So the officer's quick thinking. First of all, he removes the gun from being pointed at, you know, he's kind of wrestling their hand away so it's not pointing at the clerks.
Right.
Then he sticks his finger between the trigger and the back housing of the gun. So even if you are able to pull back on it, you can't pull all the way through.
Right.
And setting the hammer home, so to speak. And then with his other hand, he drops the revolver, the cylinder, he drops and releases it. So it drops on the ground. So now it's effectively not a, you know, operable weapon.
Yeah.
And, you know, so good on him. And so I know that this news piece kind of paints, you know, the off-duty officer Richard Stewart is the hero. He's a hero, no doubt about it, because he decided not to just keep on driving or whatever.
Well, he defused the detonator.
Right, so to speak.
But it took all three of them.
But really, I want to say Oscar Torres and the other clerk that's unnamed, they're heroes too, because, you know, not on their watch, so to speak. You know, this shit isn't going down on my watch. Whether it's a bag of juicy fruit or a bag of juicy fruit, that's a lot of gum.
You really like juicy fruit, don't you?
whether it's a stick of gum.
It's the taste that moves you.
Whether it's a stick of gum or, you know, I don't know, something really expensive. It just weren't going to allow it to happen. And I think that's good. I mean, that's what we need more. We need people getting involved more. If people would not turn a blind eye and engage people doing wrong shit, guess what? It's like policing. Policing's a community thing. It's not just individuals wearing a uniform. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right. You're right. And what it boils down to me is evil will always succeed in the world when good people do nothing.
Exactly. And when good people, and when people in general don't want to shine the light, darkness prevails. And that's where evil shit, you know, that's where it thrives, in darkness, you know? And so, you know, not to get all, like, I don't know, religious overtones here or anything like that. It's just enlightening and inspiring to see somebody say, no fucking way.
Exactly.
Whether it's liquor, whether it's milk, whether whatever.
Well, you can't live all comfy in our society and think that there aren't bad people out there. That's the thing. And that's one of the things I was reading earlier today. It was five things veterans understand that civilians don't. And one of them is that there is true evil in the world.
Oh, there is.
And you can't go through life, and I'm not saying that you're ignorant as an individual if you've never served in the military. You're not. Not in any negative means.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's actually good that you are, because if it weren't for people throwing on the uniform, people stepping in the gap and doing things, it protects a lot of other people from having to experience that evil.
Yeah, be exposed to that. Right, right.
You know, and not everybody should, but the thing is don't deny that it exists.
Yeah, stick your head in the sand and just play like, you know, and that's the reason why I've always had a problem with people that have a issue with Gitmo or whatever, and those detainees, and, you know, they're worried about their rights. It's like, those people will slit your freaking throat in a heartbeat, you know, because you're just an American, a Westerner, for no other reason. They don't know a damn thing about you, or you're a female, or, well, you know, oh my God. I mean, It just blows me away. And the other thing that kind of bothers me is that, you know, Robert McNamara, he had like 12 rules when he was the Secretary of Defense. And
I'm back in Vietnam era,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I want to say like rule 8 was to engage in good, or to do good, you may have to engage in evil.
You have to engage evil.
No, engage in evil.
Saying that
you might have to
do
things.
You have to fight fire with the fire that's been.
Yes, that you might have to shred some of your morality or ethic or your moral compass a little bit, you know. And I know we've always taught, you know, like, you know, you shouldn't lower yourself down to that. And I never agreed with that until my last tour in Iraq, more so than Afghanistan, where I started to kind of understand what he meant. You know, maybe not literally what he's talking about, but you do have to, I guess, like in Geneva Conventions, if you engage with an enemy, you're supposed to use weapons of like kind of like equal. Well, I guess what I'm saying is you're not supposed to use nuclear if they're coming at you with a knife, basically.
Right.
But the whole point of in the military is about winning as quickly as possible. It's not about a fair freaking fight. It's about removing the threat by all means as quickly and as efficiently as possible without you taking any casualties or the least amount of casualties as possible. I mean, really, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's not about, you hit me in the groin or you freaking eye gouged me. Guess what? That's what it's all about. It's about incapacitating as quickly as possible, you know?
Well, and the other thing, though, too, is, and the easiest way to sum it up is you can't rationalize with an irrational mind.
No,
you can't do it. You can sit there and try to claim all this rational stuff that makes sense to rational people, but it's not going to make sense.
Yeah.
So and that's where our diplomacy fails in so many avenues in the world right now. It's because we are a rational society that is
dealing with an irrational
highly
world.
Threatened yeah. by, yeah, irrational elements in the world. And we're not addressing the irrationality.
But what's crazy, I think, is where, and this is where Robert McNamara, I think where this rule comes in, is that other people from the outside looking in or sitting on the armchair quarterback, so to speak, say, oh, that's kind of evilish what you're doing or whatever. And it's like, you can make that judgment call from the safety of wherever, but when you're in the shit, don't tell me, you know, I'm fighting to survive here. Don't tell me, what am I supposed to do, roll over and play dead? And it's always easy to say, did you really have to kill that many people or whatever? Well, you know, to accomplish your mission or whatever it is. And again, it's always easy to, you know, it's not black and white. It's all shades of gray, you know, and that's what I think really drives me nuts. But, you know, in this situation with, you know, Oscar Torres and the unnamed clerk and, of course, off-duty Richard Stewart, they're true heroes. They're true heroes because, again, they just were not going to allow it to happen on their frickin' watch, period,
right.
No matter what. And, you know, my hat's off to you, gentlemen. I'm glad that you guys got out of that unscathed. I love the fact that the perp's face, the whole face is like one side's all swollen.
You'll see that mugshot in the news story right there in the feed. So click on all the links.
So he got his just desserts and then some. So, anyways.
Great story, though. But it speaks volumes because they were dealing with an irrational person. And they didn't let rationality take over. They're like, no, we're not going to stand for this.
Yeah.
Boom. So there you go. End of story. Perp captured.
Perp,
cop
yeah.
joins in. And yeah, it's all three of them. Great story. Yeah. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
And stick around. Our Yikum to Sue's coming up. Stories you cannot make up. This stuff is, it's insane.
I will say, finally, I don't have anything sex related this week.
Yeah, oddly enough, I don't think there's anything sex related in this week's Yikum to Sue, but good nonetheless.
Crazy stuff.
Really weird reason a principal lost a job.
Yeah, this is nuts.
Not only that, we'll look at how an Italian circus is trying to pass off an animal as pandas. So.
and we'll also cover our continued infatuation here in the West with Western civilization with zombies.
Yeah, so. And a nice little tease for next week's episode coming up as well. So,
awesome.
You
know,
make sure you stick around here to Beer Army Engaged.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, Dustin, why do you get a beer t-shirt, not me?
Just go over to wearyourbeer.com. Get 20% off your order by using the promo code BEERARMY.
It's that easy?
It's that easy. Wearyourbeer.com.
Promo code BEERARMY?
Yep, and you get 20% off your order.
I'm going to wear my beer.
Go for it today.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, on beerarmy.org, don't forget you can link to all the ways to stay connected with us. There's YouTube, there's Instagram, there's Facebook, there's Twitter, and there's always good stuff being put up on all of those. So definitely check it out. And if you want to contribute tier to the program and be a member or super soldier on Patreon, you know you can find your links right there, beerarmy.org. And right now here on Beer Army Engaged, that stuff, that insanity and this everyday thing we call life, these things that it's so hard to even believe this stuff actually happens. You can't even make it up. So what do you say, Dustin?
I got my chin strap on.
Well, let's yick him to Sue.
So this week, Mick, you know, it seems like everywhere you turn, I saw a hardware store. This was before Halloween. It actually had a sale flyer out, and it was like how to survive the zombie apocalypse. And they had like, you know, chainsaws on sale for four, you know, they were doing a whole zombie theme.
Marketing.
But it was a hardware store, you know, and they made a little fun of it. And I thought it was very insightful and interesting, right? Well, so we got an interesting news story that revolves zombies and Christmas that just happened here last week. So here, give this a listen.
It is probably the most unusual holiday display in the region, sort of a combo Halloween nativity scene along a Sycamore Township side street where passersby just can't help but slow and stare.
People come by all the time and they take pictures and they take videos and they'll get out of their cars. We never expected the reaction that came of it.
Amanda Baker's the fiance of the zombie manger creator, Jason Dixon.
I manage 13 rooms of Doom Haunted House.
The one in Rising Sun. So this is what he had on hand.
Ugly stuff to work with.
So we have a zombie nativity scene.
Oh my God. So essentially, he approached setting up his nativity scene like people approach re-gifting.
Yeah, well, he's a manager of the 13 Rooms of Haunted House in Rising Sun, Indiana.
And who did the report on this?
Oh, so yeah, we give a shout out to Channel 5 NBC affiliate WLWT out of Cincinnati, and they covered this, and this was in the township of Sycamore.
That reporter seemed like he didn't know how to even approach the story.
And so if you look at the video, instead of like the Star of David or whatever, they have it as a pentagram,
oh,
and the dead will rise again in front of the... And there's like a little baby zombie for the baby Jesus, and you know, it's Mary just, and Joseph and the three wise men are all zombies. And yeah, I thought Amanda Baker's Dixon's fiance, and she was the one that was kind of talking there. And you know, initially I was like, oh, what the hell, you know? But then I was like, you know, if that's the way they want to show the spirit, eh, who am I to judge, right?
Well,
and I'm sure the other people, you know, before people say, oh, well, how was this bitching or whatever happened? They got him for zoning violations, but I will give props to the city for not making them take it down until after Christmas. So they said they had to take it down by 26 December. So they let them keep it up. I'm sure that pissed off some locals or whatever. But, you know, truly, though, if you're a hardcore Christian and you might feel like, oh, this is blasphemous or this totally degrades the whole meaning of the nativity scene and the birth of Jesus and all that, I would say it's more important to reach people about and introduce them to Christianity or Jesus, right? I mean, that's the whole, supposedly, right? I mean, that's
well,
the whole
point. Well, his intent wasn't to mock Christianity.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's what she was saying. Like, they couldn't believe how many people have come and taken videos and shot pictures of it. And who knows, maybe some kid who's into zombies or whatever is like, well, what the hell is a nativity scene? Oh, well, the nativity scene's about, and guess what? That person just got exposed to Christianity in a very unique and weird way. Albeit, I would say, yes, not normal.
A little disturbing.
So the interesting thing is when the inspector came by, the reason why he basically hit them up with notices is that he found multiple doors and windows in the driveway, which is a township violation. And, he said they were strictly there enforcing zoning matters and nothing
really?
Else. Yeah.
Really?
That's what I was like, really? Like, really?
You're only... wait a minute. There were multiple doors and entryways in the driveway?
Well, I'm guessing from the nativity scene, maybe that there's doorways from the nativity scene facing the drive... You know, like... And then because the size of the nativity scene could be looked at as another structure... You know, and of course you have to have a certain amount of clearance from the road. You can't be, you know.
Oh, but it's not a permanent. Oh, that's reaching. It's not a permanent structure.
Dude, no. Oh, you have multiple doors in your driveway.
So
you're wrong.
But if they don't take it down, though, I mean that's the thing is that they could be fined $1,000 for violating the township's accessory structures rule. So
really,
yeah. And Baker says that she was raised somewhat Catholic and she respects the religious overtones of the nativity scene. but also likes The Walking Dead, a dramatic television series, and you know, mm-hmm. thought it was an interesting way to combine us. So she's like, we're not devil worshippers or anything crazy like that, you know. So hey, I say you live in the land of the free. It isn't infringing on other people's freedoms. I mean, if you don't like it, don't take pictures of it.
Yeah, we have a freedom from being oppressed. We don't have a freedom from being offended.
You know, don't drive by your house then.
Don't confuse the two.
I mean, I guess if you live next door, maybe. I don't know. But if it's for a short period of time, I think I can live with that one.
Yeah. So. Wow. Jeez. If you wanted to live in a homogenous society, that would be so boring.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of not being boring, Italian circuses are very interesting.
I love the circus.
Really?
Didn't you go to a circus when you were a kid?
Yeah, I did. Circus would come to town, you get
the cotton candy, ride on the elephants.
No, I never rode on an elephant.
You never rode on an elephant?
No.
Oh, you poor boy.
I've been to the circus once.
Really?
Yeah, just once.
Well,
circuses really didn't roll through...
Mile High area.
Well, they rolled through an old... I can't remember what it was. It was in Denver. It was like an old... agricultural center or something like that.
But why do I get the feeling you said Italian circus? So like, I got a feeling like there's something special about this one.
Well, it's because you can't make this crap up.
Okay.
Apparently in Italian circuses, pandas are required.
Yeah.
You
gotta have a panda.
At a circus?
I mean, not always, but usually bears or lions and tigers.
Lions, tigers, elephants, trapeze artists, midgets on unicycles.
Clowns.
Small cars with a lot of clowns, but I've never factored a panda into a circus equation.
Okay. Well,
but in Italy, that's the case. Okay. Well, at least they tried to pass off something as pandas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see this picture.
The circus owner of this the circus in northern Italy, his name was not released, but he's facing charges of animal abuse and defrauding customers. You know why?
That's a panda, all right.
Because he dyed two Chow Chow dogs, black and white, and tried to pass them off as pandas and charged parents to have their kids get their pictures taken with two pandas.
Oh, God.
But these photos, you know what a chow looks like, right?
Yeah, I know, dude. I mean, it's like it's the antithesis of a panda, size-wise.
Well, just imagine them dyed to look like pandas.
Was it maybe part of the clown's like act or something? Maybe, you know, because clowns will do funny stuff, and you know.
No,
they're no shit billing.
They were charging
pandas.
Children to have their pictures taken with two pandas. So it was have your pictures taken with pandas.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, after I look at this picture, after I get done from laughing, it's like, who really thought those were pandas? I guess.
Well, my thing is who do you charge with the stupidity here? The parents that paid the money to have their kid's picture taken with what was obviously not a panda?
Baby panda?
Oh, I mean, this story, just me talking about it, you may or may be just like, that's interesting.
Well,
you click on the story
you have to look at the photos. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, you have to look at this photo. I mean, if nothing else, if you don't listen to any of the rest of this broadcast... You have to go look at this photo, and you will not believe that they're actually people who are trying to call these pandas. It's like a fucking Pomeranian.
It's a panda.
It looks like a Pomeranian or something.
Oh,
you know?
Man. Well, when this guy was confronted, when he was finally confronted about this, he actually claimed that the dogs were half panda, half dog hybrids.
Oh, it's not a full panda. It's a half a panda, half a dog hybrid.
So I get my picture for 50% off? Yeah. Well, he should lose his job, I tell you, as a circus.
Weird circus, man.
Oh, my God. Speaking of losing jobs, so, like, okay, that's straight up trying to defraud somebody, right? I mean, I think the intent was to, you know, pass something off that wasn't.
Yeah.
What about if I told you that... somebody misspelled a sign, and it could cost you a job. I mean...
For misspelling.
And it wasn't like you did something that was egregious as far as it was scantily, you know, sexy, you know, like you dropped one letter and spelled the word fuck or something like that. Like, it's just a regular sign, right? And you misspell
but not
December.
For like a spelling competition?
Right, no. Just a regular
like
informational
an
community
course.
Sign, right?
Okay.
Well, that's the case here for one... former principal of a public school, and here, just give a listen.
Okay.
Hey, everyone, I'm Mike Rylander, and this is What the Fark. Today we head to Paterson, New Jersey, where a misspelled sign above a local elementary school caused quite a stir in the community.
I think that's really disrespectful.
How are you going to teach the kids when you can't even spell the simple month December?
Look, I'm not going to stand here and defend the month of December, okay? That's just silly. But accidents do happen. And it's not like they made a mistake and just left it up for a whole week.
It took more than a week for anyone to take notice and fix the glaring mistakes on the school sign.
Okay, well, you know, maybe the principal and all the teachers and all the adults with basic spelling skills who work at the school were just on vacation that week. I mean, it's not like it had to hit Facebook for somebody to actually give it attention.
It took somebody to put it on Facebook for somebody to actually bring it to the attention.
I didn't believe it was a real sign. I thought it was Photoshopped or something.
What are you talking about? If you see a photo of a ridiculous sign on Facebook, you just assume it's 100% real and hit the share button without doing any further research no matter what.
When he found out it was the real deal, he says he was angry.
Yeah, it's time for some motherfucking heads to roll.
Oh my God! So what happened to this?
Yeah, so this is in New Jersey public school. It was number 20 in Paterson, New Jersey, and Antoinette Young. She was the principal of the public school, and she's been demoted to a vice principal's position at another school. And the misspelling,
all over misspelling the word in month December,
right? And then one of the letters, it read 24 to 31. School closed. You know, like a regular traditional sign, you know, informational sign. Well, somebody put the one backwards. You know, so the thing at the top, you know, but you can still tell it's a one and you can still tell it's December. And probably the reason why it was up is I'm going to go out on a limb here and say nobody was probably at school, you know?
Or maybe potentially somebody thought, oh, there's some kids or high school kids are messing around with the marquee. Definitely.
And you know, I get that you're responsible for everything that happens that fails to happen underneath your charge or your company or your command, you know, from a military point of view. And so ultimately, the principal should be responsible to a point. But it's not even, you know, it's not like she or he is the one that puts up the sign. You know, it's a custodian. And in this case, it was. It was a custodian that was responsible for the sign spelling errors. Now, I'm not going to try to profile, say, okay, what is his college education or whatever, you know, to be a custodian. Maybe he's very highly educated. Maybe he's not. Maybe he was drunk. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he wasn't paying attention. Maybe he's illiterate. I don't know.
Maybe there weren't enough E's.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe there's not enough E's. That's a great one.
You ever try to work a marquee and you don't have enough letters?
Public schools and, you know, low funding and you only have so much space. I mean, in this situation, look at the picture. They had enough space, but maybe they were out of E's, you know?
This principal got demoted.
Got demoted.
And sent to another school over this stupid marquee.
And you heard the other lady talking about, like, well, I don't want these people teaching kids if they can't. It's like, whatever. Really? Really? Hey, how does the view look from that high on your perch? Like, you don't ever miss. Dude.
Her statement was, until it came to the attention.
Dude, when I wrote down the title,
sentence hanging.
When I was doing my show notes, I wrote down misspelled sign. Guess how I spelled misspelled? With one S. You know, I went M-I-S-P. You know?
You need to be demoted and sent to another Beer Army.
I guess I'm getting demoted to private. I'm the private of the Beer Army. But
that just blows my mind. But yeah, the big thing is like, wow, it wasn't until somebody posted on Facebook, nobody had an issue with this or didn't notice it.
Well, I guess,
but it takes Facebook outrage to make a difference.
The thing is, the little snippet that they had of the local news reporter, and she's trying to be very serious, like, this is like, man, they must be really hard up for some freaking news in Paterson, New Jersey. You know?
I think they are.
Holy shit, man. So, anyways.
Well, that's it. We are wrapping up another Beer Army Engage, but I do want to encourage you to hang around because I do want not to hang around necessarily, but I do encourage you to tune into next week's
episode. I know you've been working on some new songs. That's something that's like our New Year's resolution for this show, right? To start getting a little bit more dynamic with some of your poetry and some of your songwriting skills. And some of your nunchuck skills. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm forcing Mick Dagger here to share with you just a little snippet to tease you for next week.
It's something that is currently in the works and will be created for you. If you have Crohn's disease, I have to apologize in advance. This one's for you. All right, can you feel it?
I'm feeling it.
Dustin, just imagine having Crohn's disease and needing some inspiration here. Don't go chasing bathroom stalls. Adult diapers are really easy to get used to. Crohn's will be there whether or not you want it at all. Irritable bowels moving too fast. You like that?
I like the
echo.
Yeah,
you like that.
I like the echo effect.
Mm.
I like
a little
that.
Bit of reverb. So if you have Crohn's, there's a song that can inspire you. Or if you're new to Crohn's and you've just been diagnosed with it, now you know.
Oh, man. Oh, out of control. Out of control.
Well, hopefully we'll have the whole song for you. That's the goal. We'll have the whole song for you next episode. So
awesome.
Make sure you check us out. BeerArmy.org is the website. You can link to a previous podcast. I encourage you to check them out, take a listen, and get more information on the beers we feature each episode. And a big thanks to Green Man Brewery and their delicious limited release winter stout called Forrester. And that's going to do it for us. I'm Mick Dagger.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.